Do you want to read the first Mishnah named Tzadin? I didn't bring it here.
Yeah?
Yeah, Danny, just read the first Mishnah named Tzadin and read Rashi on it. I passed out some last week, but I don't.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Yeah, but.
Ain Tzadin Dugin Min Ha Biberim Beyom Tov Ain Notnin Lifnehem Mazonot Avol Tzadin Chayovil Min Ha Biberim Benotnin Lifnehem Mazonot.
Okay, so the Mishnah says that you can't fish the fish out of the fish ponds on Yom Tov. Okay?
Okay, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Lo Kol Ha Biberim Shavin Zeh HaKlal Kol Ha Mechusar Tziga.
Okay, so if you have a large fish pond, instead of having a fish tank where there's no effort involved in sticking your hand in and scooping out the fish, but if you have a large fish pond on Yom Tov, the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to fish the fish out of this fish pond on Yom Tov. Why? Well, that's a question. Why isn't this Ochel Nefesh? Let's take a look in Rashi. What does Rashi say?
Ain sudden dugim, afagav dishkita vafia ubishu meavos malachos hain, uuchu latsarach yom tov.
Even though you're allowed to slaughter the animal, or you're allowed to cook, even though those are avot malacha, nevertheless you're allowed to do it because it's the soach ochal nefesh.
Tama mishun de efsha meyarav yom tov.
The reason for that is, before the days of refrigeration, there was no way of slaughtering the chicken yesterday and having the meat. Available for the next day. Therefore, as Rashi says, because it's Eif Sharla Sotan the Erev Yom Tov, you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Similarly, if there's a big difference between having a freshly broiled steak than eating a steak that was prepared yesterday, you may have been slightly spoiled, and even if it didn't become slightly spoiled, certainly isn't as tasty as a freshly. Okay, so Rashi is introducing this principle of Efshar La'asotan Me'erev Yom Tov or E'efshar La'asotan Me'erev Yom Tov as to the reason why one is allowed to fry the fish on Yom Tov, but one is not allowed to catch the fish. If you wanted a fish, a fresh fish, if you wanted to eat fish on Yom Tov, you should have caught the fish on Erev Yom Tov and put it in the bathtub. Or, yeah, why not? And then it's understood that you don't want to kill the fish Erev Yom Tov because it will spoil, but if you keep it alive in a little fish tank, then that would be permissible. That's what Rashi is saying. Rashi is that the law of Rashi, or does he go
further? No, it goes further.
Go ahead.
Tishchita chayash lemichmar basra ten yit chameis v'yasriach. Also could spoil.
Because it'll spoil, right.
אבל צידה אפשר לצודו מבעוד יום, ויניחנו במצודתו במים ולא ימות.
Right, as we said, you can put the fish in the bathtub. When I was a kid, we couldn't take a bath a few days before Yom Tov, because we had to go to the bathhouses to take our bath, because the fish was swimming around in the bathtub. I remember still that. That was before the days of good refrigeration, and to have fresh fish, especially on Rosh Hashanah, on the second day Yom Tov, you wanted to have fish, then the bathtub was occupied by the fish.
My father told me before Pesach in his house too.
Same thing before Pesach with us as well.
Couldn't
right?
take a bath.
We couldn't take a bath. We were near the Baruch baths, so we would go. Now, of course, you can't go. There are no public bathhouses, and even if they were, it's probably dangerous. But fortunately, we have refrigeration, so you don't keep the fish alive in the bathtub anymore. But that's what Rashi is saying, that since there's a possibility of keeping the fish alive in the bathtub, and therefore you're not allowed to catch it on the Yom Tov.
In Israel, the stores still
have these plants. Sure. Why in Israel? You go to Chinatown, you go to New York on Grand Street.
Makes sense. They have lobsters, lobsters and crabs too.
What's that?
Lobsters.
Yeah, why not?
Is that it?
Yeah, that one was wonderful.
All right, so now the question is, does everybody, or more accurately, does anybody agree with Rashi? Rashi is drawing on the issue of Ochel Nefesh itself. Rashi is saying, in principle, there is nothing wrong with fishing on Yom Tov. if you wouldn't have this option of keeping the fish in a pail of water or alive in the bathtub, according to Rashi, if that option didn't exist, then you would be allowed to catch the fish on Yom Tov. The only reason why you're not allowed to fish on Yom Tov, according to Rashi, is because it is possible to have done it yesterday. That raises two problems with us. The first problem is, this indicates, contrary to the Yerushalmi, that the specific malachot that are permitted on Yom Tov are not limited to four or five. They're not limited from Elisha Ve'elech or Mishchita Ve'elech, because they even include things like Tzeda. The second problem, so that's one aspect of what is problematic with Rashi. The second aspect of what is problematic with Rashi is that the implication of Rashi is that this notion that we saw in the Gemara, that Masha Efshal La'asotam Ne'erav Yom Tov is also La'asotam B'Yom Tov, the Gemara relates that to Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, not to Ochel Nefesh itself. Right? If you could do everything yesterday and fast freeze it, and all you had to do was put it in the microwave and heat it up today, and it would taste just as good as if you cooked it today, then according to this principle, you should have everything ready before Yom Tov, and all that you would be allowed to do would be zap it on Yom Tov. You would not be allowed to go through the process of cooking. And that is contrary to what we saw in the Gemara, because the Gemara discusses this distinction between Efshar La'asoto Me'erev Yom Tov or E'efshar La'asoto Me'erev Yom Tov, not to Ochel Nefesh itself, but to Machshirei Ochel. Okay. So all of the Rishonim more or less jump on Rashi on this issue, and let's read what they have to say. So first let's start with the Ramban. We all have it. It's in the Milchamot Hashem. I try to enlarge it a little bit.
Ramban.
Ramban. Sefer Milchamot Hashem. Right? You have it. This is on the riff on Ein Sadi. This is the beginning of the third parak. Ma shekatav Rashi zal b'mishnoteinu. Shahatseida Asura Mepnesha Epshala Sotomi Erev Yom Tov Einam Dvarim Nachonim.
He's following. Fairly direct.
Yeah. Shaochel Nefesh Atzmo, the actual preparation of food, Dvar Torah Mutarla Sotomi Yom Tov, Afalpi Shevshala Sotomi Erev Yom Tov. On the issue of the actual preparation of foodstuffs, the Torah allows us to do that on Yom Tov, even if this is something that was possible to have been done Friday.
What about cheese?
What about cheese?
Cheese, you go later. Because you have to make it before Yom Tov.
Not because Ramban's saying that can't possibly be right. There may be other reasons for prohibition or not prohibition of making cheese, if that's the case. But the Ramban is saying, this is the Ramban's position, it's not Rashi's position, that there is no distinction, as far as Ochel Nefesh is concerned, between whether you could have done it yesterday or not, right?
Correct.
If you heat up the water today, it doesn't matter, you could have heated it up, yet, put the chaynik on the fire yesterday, it's the same hot water. Nevertheless, even though you could have boiled the water yesterday and kept it on the fire, there you are allowed to put the water on the fire today. Okay, so it's something that's not going to spoil. The water will stay hot. Right. Nevertheless, you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov. V'lo mechalkinen bohu. There's no distinction between efshar la'asoto me'erev Yom Tov or e'efshar la'asoto me'erev Yom Tov, ela b'machshirin l'Rabbi Yehuda. Dechtiv hu v'chtiv lachem. U'kedivrei Rabbi Eliezer, af machshirim mutarim, af al pi she'efshar la'asota. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that there's a distinction in machshirim, machshirei ochel nefesh, sharpening the knife, fixing the spit, those kinds of things which are not directly involved in the preparation of foodstuffs, but which are only preparatory to the preparation of foodstuffs. There, Rabbi Yehuda distinguishes between efshar la'asotam erev Yom Tov, efshar la'asotam erev Yom Tov. And there's another opinion, Rabbi Eliezer, even in Machshirim, there's no distinction between Esher La'asoto and Yesher La'asoto. V'harei molichim sakin etzal tabach b'yom tov u'v'shabbat l'inyan mila, u'v'shabbat l'inyan mila asur b'pnei she'esher la'asoto me'erev yom tov. V'chein l'inyan shkitat ha'pesach k'di'ida v'duchta, melach v'madok shel etz nami, you're allowed to grind up the salt in a wooden grinder. V'chein morika u'v'kiyat etzim afilu v'kupitz kulam l'achot k'murotein. Chopping the wood is a complete melacha. Uchenegdan b'Shabbat chayavin aleihem skila. If you did these on Shabbat, you'd be chayav skila. Vehetiru otam b'yom tov. Af al pi she'efsher la'asotan me'erev yom tov. So according to this opinion, which is even more lenient than Rabbi Yehuda's, even machshirei ochel nefesh, you're allowed to do on yom tov. Okay? V'lo asurim lo asurim afilu medivreihem, kevan shederch su'uda kachu. Since the normal to the preparation of food is that before you go cook, you go chop up your firewood to have it ready for the stove, right? When you want to cook, you don't just turn on the gas in those days. You have to go up and chop up some firewood and put it in your wood stove. And this is done normally just in advance of cooking. That was the actual procedure. And therefore, since that's the normal procedure, or you don't grind up your pepper or your salt in advance. You grind it up to have nice freshly ground salt. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but then but it says it doesn't matter. Even if it isn't so fresh, it doesn't matter. You should do it with a slight shinui because it is, and this answers your question, because it's uvdan b'chol. Mikol makom lamadnu, la'ochel machesh, shehu mutar efo pi she'efshar la'asoto dvar Torah. Okay? Afil afshar pi she'efshar la'asoto v'yarav yom tov. V'chal... No, dvar Torah. V'ol she'arvei perot yesh, dvar Torah. V'ol she'arvei perot yesh, she'vnei me'yomam mu'ulim, that they're better to eat on the day itself. But seida atzma i'efshar la'asoto v'yarav yom tov. ואם צד דגים מן הים בערב יום תום וחזר וצד ביום תום, זו צדה אחרת, אי אפשר לעשותו מבערב. Whatever you're catching today, you couldn't have caught yesterday. ומה יאמר רבנו זה למי שעלתה מצודתו ריקם בערב יום תום, ונזדמנו לו ביום תום? Maybe the net was empty in ערב יום תום. אלא, so therefore Rashi's explanation that that you're not allowed to fish from the fish ponds on Yom Tov because you could have done it yesterday cannot be possibly be correct, says the Rambam. Ela havu yodim. So the Rambam says there's another reason. Havu yodim shelo kol hamalachot tutru b'Yom Tov. Not all activities, not all malachot were allowed on Yom Tov. Ela hechsher hamalachalim la'ochlam. The only things that were allowed were acts of preparation of food, kagon afia ubishut uchiyotzei b'hem. Aval atzud balei chayim she'enan birshut adam, v'chein le'ekod davar megibulo kagon k'tzira v'toldoteha, elu uchiyotzei b'hem asurim, v'hein b'chlal melechet avoda. In other words, Ramban is saying that he's sort of changing his mind a little bit from the definition of Melechet Avodah. You saw that on the Perush and the Chumash he gave sort of three possibly different interpretations of what the phrase Melechet Avodah might mean, whether it means your own pleasure or the general public, or something easy versus something hard, etc. But here he's offering a slightly different explanation of Melechet Avodah, namely that the halacha itself makes a list of those malachot which it construes as malachat avodah and not malachat achol nefesh, and other malachot which it construes as malachat avodah. So this is like the Yerushalmi. He's not quoting Yerushalmi, and we'll see in a moment that he can't possibly agree with the Yerushalmi, but nevertheless he's saying that the phrase malachat avodah limits the class of malachot, not the purpose of the activity, but the nature, the class of the activity. Okay? Inami, now he quotes the Yerushalmi, Kamoshim Farash Bu Yerushalmi, Minayin She'ein Ba'urim V'lo Tochanim V'lo Mo'akdim, Rabbi Yossi V'Shem Rosh Lakish, אך אשר יאכל אוכל נפש, שהוא לבדו יעשה לכם, מן ושמרתם את המצוות, כלומר, מלישה ואילך למעט תחינה והלכדה, וכל כל שכן קצירה ותלישה. תני, חזקיה הוא פליג, אך הוא לבדו הרי אלו מיות, הרי אך זה מיות, מכאן שלא לצור ולא שלא לתקום ושלא יוכל בשבת. הירוש, משמעות הן דורשים, ולדברי הכל נתמעטו תחינה והרכדה. שלא התירה תורה ביום טוב, אלא, שלא התירה תורה ביום טוב, אלא מלאכות של יומה. Things that you normally do in the same day. So now he's giving a slightly different interpretation. Okay? שלא התירו things that you normally do on the same day, כגון שחיטה, אפייה או בישול. אבל אלו תיקון הם, ודרך בני אדם לתקן מהם לימים הרבה. אמרה תורה, יתקן כדרכו מכל יום טוב, שלא יתקן מיום טוב לימים הרבה, של חוק. So now the Ramban is giving a rationalization for this. Normally, the act of harvesting, you don't pick one apple. It may very well be that if you live near an apple orchard, you'll go out and pick one apple to have a fresh apple off the tree. But normally, you go out and pick a whole supply of apples. So you pick a whole supply of grapes, or you reap a whole supply of wheat. These are in the nature of activities that people normally do on a large scale basis, not on a daily basis. Right? This is before the time of mass slaughterhouses and freezing and things of this nature. You don't slaughter an animal for a week's supply or 2 weeks' supply in advance. So the Ramban is saying that amongst, if you go down the list of categories of melachot, some of these are melachot which are normally done for the day, and other of these are a class of melachot which are normally done long term to get a supply for a long term period. Those which are in their nature, at least in the category of the melacha by their nature, are things that you do for a long term period, don't fall under the list of ochal nefesh. Ve'af al pi shematzinu heter b'melachot halav tochanim et hapilkalim b'reichayim shelahem b'kol hanidachim kedarkam nami tchinahi. You're allowed to pour things into the what do you call it? This the calendar or whatever, the thing that see this that hangs there to sieve out the stuff. So the Ramban is aware of the fact that he can't quite cover all of the distinctions here. He's worried about tchina, and he says, he sort of is fudging here. He says that, all right, some classes of tchina are allowed, but certainly the reaping of wheat or the picking of fruit is something which should not be permissible, although he doesn't quite tell us what the distinction is between Oker Davar Migidulo or not. He tries to put in a distinction here between Dvarim Shebirshuto Shel Adam and not Birshuto Shel Adam. What that category is, he doesn't quite, where he gets it from, he doesn't quite say. And he realizes the difficulty. V'afilu l'perot ha'nifkamim l'yom l'chavero, k'gom te'enim v'tutim, right? If you pick the strawberry after one day, it will spoil. You want to pick your strawberries fresh, and similarly for the figs. דברי רשי זל וטעם ומוקצה צריכים לנו לפי שהדבר ידוע ונחריש את הלך פירות בעצמו שהן אסורים לישראל ביומם כדי תברם מפה כיצד מהווים והוא לפתע דעתו אלו מוכרו זווים לפני מלאכה כאבן שבשביל עצמו עשרף בשבת נותרים לישראל והכי נמי איתם בפה כל כתפי ונחריש על הקטע סבים etc. He's now just discussing what we studied in Tosfot last week, that you need both this reason, namely that it's prohibited to do it, and the reason which says that it's mitzvah. Okay, so that's the Rambam. Let's take a look at three other Rishonim. Here's the Rashba in the Avodah HaKodesh. Okay. Avar bol kol melechet ochel nefesh. I suppose that's what it says. Shehetira Torah b'yom tov. V'im nechnas b'chlal heter hazeh kol ma shetzarich lo ofen ochel nefesh im lav. Are you allowed to do anything that has to do with preparation of food stuff? No. V'chein kol melecha shelo hutka mishum tzarich ochel nefesh im nechnuch tzru b'chlal yisur kol chelkei ha-melecha im lav. In other words, is those melechot which are prohibited, are they absolutely prohibited? Aleph. יתבררו מכלל זה הקוצר והתולש והדש והבורר והתולחן והמועקד והצד החולה והמגרן והסוחט את הפירות להוציא מהם משקים והרודך על הדבש שהן מלאכות אסורות ביום טוב אם אסורות דבר תורה ולא והבאר משהו יותר מכלל מקצת המלאכות הללו. So he's saying which, including your cheese, which of these are permitted on Yom Tov? Well, and if they are prohibited on Yom Tov, is this an Isur D'Oraita or an Isur D'Rabana? So let's read what he says. Dvar Torah, Mlechet Avoda Asura B'Yom Tov K'v'Shabbat, Shekatur Kol Mlechet Avoda Lo Ta'asur. Eizu Hi Mlechet Avoda, Kol She'im Batzorech Ochel Nefesh, K'choresh V'Zoreah Uvoneh V'Oreg V'Yotzei B'Zeh. Well, how could they be? Plowing the field is not ochel nefesh. You're not going to use it to eat. There's no way that your plowing the field is going to allow you to have food on Yom Tov. And certainly not zoreh.
All those examples are clearly a step away from the examples given by the Ramban, who's
right.
Much closer to...
That's right. Although boneh, you might imagine, might fall into this category if you have to build your oven, for instance. But oreg, weaving, is presumably, again, nothing that can do with preparation of food. V'lo hutra ela melacha sheyesh bat zorech ochel nefesh, o shekol nefesh nehenet mineha. Now he's dealing briefly with the second question that we raised at the very beginning as to whether ochel nefesh has to be specifically for food or for other physical pleasure. כאפייה ובישור לכי יוצא בהן, שנאמר, כל מלאכה לא יעשה אחר שיוכל לכל נפש, הוא לבד לא יעשה לכם. ולא כל מלאכת אוכל נפש שהתיר הכתוב, שהרי אחר שהתיר מי עת, שנאמר, אך הוא לבד לא יעשה לכם, אך הוא לבדו ולכם מיותים הם, לפיכך יש אפילו מלאכות שיש בהן צורך אוכל נפש ואסורות. Okay? So he says that from the Torah we see that אוכל נפש has been permitted, but not all activities that pertain to ochel nefesh. And here we have another example of an authority saying that the definition of what constitutes permissible or not permissible, even though it's a question of the heter b'oraita, has been left to Chazal to decide. Umesaran hakatuv lachachamim. The decision here as to what constitutes melechet avodah and what constitutes a melechet ochel nefesh, the final decision here was left up to Chazal. V'heim amru she'akotzer v'atolesh v'adash v'borer v'atochen v'amakid v'atzav v'acholei v'amgaven v'asochet et ha'perot l'otzim mehen mashkin asur. V'chein, but whether this is asur midioraita or midorabanan, he doesn't quite say. The implication is that it's asur midioraita. V'chein asru midivreihem l'radot chalot v'ash min ha'kaveret. They also prohibited taking the honeycomb out of the pie. Umepnei ma manu et elu, lefi shelo hetira haTorah latakein biyom tov, ma shederech bnei adam latakein mehem harbei liyamim harbei, kidei shelo yatriach biyom tov latakein letzorechot. So this is the Ramban's explanation. He's adopting his teacher's explanation as the cause. He's giving it a slightly different twist. He says that the Torah has established the principle that not all ochel nefesh is permissible, the final decision as to what is permissible and what is not permissible was left up to Chazal. And now the guiding principle that Chazal used in distinguishing between the permissible and the prohibited was whether the activity in its normal fashion was something that a person does only for today, or something which some person usually does long range. V'chein, lo hitira ha-Torah ela tikkun, u'bedvarim shein birshuto. Now he's interested in introducing the second principle that the Ramban mentioned, namely that it's dealing only with items that are in your property, or more precisely, perhaps, under your control. Kafiya u'bishul. Not to pick something off its place of growth. Even strawberries or watermelon, which spoil after one day, remember this was without refrigeration, since it's hard to draw the line between strawberries and watermelon on the one hand and apples on the other hand, therefore the categorization was made on the issue of picking fruit altogether. Okay? So he's taking both of the Ramban's reasons, but he's giving it a slightly different twist. He's saying that the Chazal were empowered by the Torah to make some legislation which embodied these principles, and then this legislation had the force of a din d'oraita, and therefore he gets around Ramban's difficulty. In other words, whereas the Ramban sort of had to fudge and say this distinction between whether it was in your property or not, you're in your property, or whether it was that most fruit you picked for long term, and only some fruits you picked short term, the Rashba is saying that this is an act of legislation, that Chazal were empowered to draw the line somewhere, and it would be hard to draw the line between one type of a fruit or another, because then you would always find some borderline fruits which you couldn't tell whether they would spoil within 24 hours or 36 hours or what have you, and therefore the line was drawn because since most fruits last, you're not allowed to pick any fruits on Yom Tov. וכל שכן צידת בעלי חיים שאינם ברשותו, ושהוא צריך לטרוח ולצוד בחורשים, ונמצא בטל משמחת יום טוב. If you have to go out and go fishing and trap your animal, then you don't have any יום טוב. ועוד יש מלאכות ואפילו טולטלים שעשו מדבריהם כדוש שלא יעשה כדרך שעושה בחור כמו שיפרח. Okay, let's stop here. I think there's someone here who wants to come in. And we will continue with this. You all have the run that I passed out last week? Okay, well, I'll pass that out next week. I don't know. Maybe. All right.